Now we're on side two of this broadcast. This is number 640. It's March the 12th, 1984, KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove. I'm going to spend the second half of this broadcast and maybe all next week and the week after on Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Police Department, and the Olympic Games. I think it is the most important story in the country. I think the Grenada invasion was a practice for what our country can do to invade any single country and testing its secrecy with the press, and a lot of other things that they did. And I've spent the last 3 months on the Grenada invasion. And when I write that up, then I'm going to do extensive work on the LAPD up to and through the time of the Olympics. Now, a subscriber to World Watcher sent me a clipping, innocent enough, but it tells you a lot of things from the Sunday Oregonian, February the 12th, 1984. It's about a woman named Annette Jolin, J-O-L-I-N, and her father visited her this summer. His name is Manfred Schreiber, S-C-H-R-E-I-B-E-R. And he came to visit her in Oregon, and he's here from Germany, from Bonn. He heads the West German Federal Police in Bonn, Germany. At the present time, he's the chief of police in Bonn, Germany. And he went to visit her in Oregon, and then he was going down to Los Angeles, where he had a meeting with the Los Angeles Police Department. He was attending an Olympic security conference in Los Angeles as an advisor to the Los Angeles Police Department for security for the Olympic Games. Bonn, Germany is sending their chief of police to tell in California how to secure yourself for the Olympic Games. Now, the important part about this story is that he was the chief of police in Munich, Germany, when the Israeli athletes were murdered. And the excuse for the government spending $100 million for security is because 11 Jews were killed in Munich. I can't believe that all the airplanes and all the guns we're getting would be to protect 11 more Jews. I just can't believe that life is that precious. When you're sending $90 million to Guatemala tomorrow and $100 million to El Salvador, I can't believe that life is that precious. I think they have other things in mind. So Manfred was not only chief of police in Munich when this was allowed to happen, but he's also in Bonn, chief of police. But it goes on to say that his daughter is following in her father's footsteps. Annette is in this country, not in Germany. And she teaches at the Oregon Police Academy, and she's working on a doctor's degree in urban study criminology at the Portland State University. Now, maybe there is a kind of there's sexism and racism. Maybe it's a thing where I think Americans should study police on Americans. I don't appreciate the chief of police of Bonn having his daughter work up to be the chief of police of Portland, Oregon, while the Japanese buy the banks of Oregon. It says she just completed her term as first chairman of Portland Police Internal Investigation Audit Committee, which has to do with intelligence and spying, getting a doctor's degree at Portland State University. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she's an American citizen. She's going to run the Oregon police. I just feel very uncomfortable with it. Not that single news story or anything else about it, but add it all up. Where the guy came from and where he's going and advising there with his daughter with the Oregon police. Now, you can get really paranoid. A week after I read that article that was sent to me, I got another article from Gresham, Oregon, February the 18th, 1984. The police killed a man and the charges are dropped. A town in Oregon where a 27-year-old was shot and killed. His name is Mark Stomps. He wasn't armed. The police shot him, and they thought he was a man. They thought they were afraid that he was going to kill himself. There was some call or something. His mother said he was threatening to kill himself. So he's out in the street. He has no weapons, and he's shot by the police with this incident. Not once, but seven times they gunned him. You know, not the feet to stop him from running or whatever, or the hand if he's holding anything. He had no weapons. So the Oregon police not only killed a man seven shots, he hadn't committed a crime. They could have used some kind of a gas to subdue him. He had no weapon, and the police were not charged. So if I subscribe to an Oregon paper, I guess I could get really paranoid about the Oregon police, but I don't like it. Now, I'm going to do a series of articles on the U.S. Olympics, on the LAPD, in somewhat of a chronology as they're running and share with you what is coming down there and what has been happening in the last 2 months that I haven't updated. The story from the Los Angeles Herald, the United States is to supply official helicopters for the 1984 Olympics. The Defense Department is going to provide 30 helicopters for the Olympic Games. They can expand more if they want. The Defense Department can supply the weapons from military or civilian sources under $50 million appropriation from Congress. Congress has put up this $50 million for weapons or whatever. Our Congress has voted for the Los Angeles Olympic Games. Keep in mind, we're talking about 2 weeks of people running around the track. Then I'm sure you saw the Olympic trials in the paper this week in the San Francisco Chronicle and over the wire services and on television. They have two dummy terrorists standing up in booths, and a man is playing the role of a terrorist, pretending to be a hostage, and they're practicing in Quantico, Virginia, on how to take care of these terrorists. UCLA will shut down nuclear reactor during Olympics. This is San Jose Mercury last week. The University of California has a nuclear reactor, and the question is, what in the heck are they doing with that? Right in a highly concentrated residential area, they have enriched, highly enriched uranium on a college campus. And there's a quotation from an assemblyman, "I still believe that highly enriched uranium has no place on a college campus." Well, UCLA is just a few miles, and it's surrounded by homes and businesses. And they have a nuclear plant there. Now they're going to barricade it by concrete with constant guards because the barracks where the Olympics will be going in July 28th to August the 12th. We'll have to keep putting those dates down. This is where they keep the uranium, and a lot of the visitors will be staying in Olympic villages nearby. So they've conceded to close down the uranium and the nuclear plant on a campus. Can they remove that out in the hills that you drive between San Francisco and L.A., and there's all this bare space? It seems to me that some kind of a nuclear facility doesn't have to be in the middle of Westwood. It's just horrendous. And another story, the FBI shows off its hostage rescue team. In several of the demonstrations last week, this is from the L.A. Times, they used live ammunition to shoot and kill dummies to show how they're going to use this explosive and how strong their weapons are. And they have a new weapon that shoots through walls if they want to kill a hostage. So they're demonstrating how clever that is, showing off their weapons. They're putting a fortune, and I think it's really a carnival to parade the weapons. I can't imagine much more about that. Now, a while back, I didn't get a chance to put on the air all of the information. I never will get the complete amount on Lieutenant Thomas Scheidecker, who was apprehended for taking papers home, and he was in part working with Jay Paul from the police department, taking papers home from the police files and the intelligence files that were put into computers that go to Western Goals. And I mentioned that he is part of Navy Intelligence and Navy Reserve, and there were papers that he takes from the State Department that I mentioned and agencies under what he calls the Threat Analysis Group. And these documents are marked confidential and end up in the Los Angeles Police Department with Lieutenant Scheidecker. And then he gives them to Jay Paul, who hands them to John Reese, maybe one of the top spies in the United States, and the John Birch Society. And they go to everywhere from Roy Conas on Western Goals with the Mafia to Admiral Moore, the former chief of staff, or General John Singlaub with his Nazi Mafia group. Headquarters, the World Anti-Communist League over there in Taiwan, working out of Taiwan and also the Philippines. Now, I mentioned Scheidecker's role of taking 10,000 papers home that were top secret, and the excuse that he gave was he used the documents for planning the Olympic Games security. Now, I'm going to keep citing these different people in these different articles because how can you have security for games when you're handing information about these people right to Munich, Germany, right to the Galen BND, and to Vienna, where the lack of security happened at the last Olympic Games? Besides Defense Department papers, he took home confidential reports. He's not supposed to do that, and I have mentioned this to you before. Lieutenant Scheidecker is Lieutenant Commander in Navy Reserve Intelligence, and so that would be under John Layman, Secretary of the Navy, close to Henry Kissinger and Lord Peter Carrington, Kissinger, the protege of Fritz Kramer, and then partner Kramer, the partner of Daniel Graham, and here is Mr. Scheidecker holding the papers from the Defense Intelligence Agency and feeding these computers, going to William Medigovich, and I mentioned him several times, and I will continue. He is a CIA staff officer who is now in charge of the Office of Emergency Service. And you wonder how many people down the line get these papers once they leave the Los Angeles Police Department. Another article on the LAPD that was in the LA Times, police official says Los Angeles cop misused his job and he abused his job. Both words were used. Detective J. Paul abused his duties and could face disciplinary action. Do you think he will or not? For storing intelligence documents outside the police department and for his unauthorized ties to the right-wing intelligence Western goals. Well, after this article was written, police agents came out and said it was authorized, that they gave him these papers and told him to keep them, and that they have three satellite stations where they take papers out of the Los Angeles Police Department. Also among Mr. Paul's possessions were police infiltration counterintelligence documents dating to 1974. So it couldn't be pertinent work, and that goes back to the early 70s, and he's pushing these names into the computer back to Alexander, Virginia, and into the general international computer of who the leftists or the liberals are. The 11 proposed misconduct charges are that he passed information from the Los Angeles Police Department to the late Representative Larry McDonald, who was gunned down just 18 days before he was to testify, and to John Birch Society and John Reese, that he lied and made false misleading statements and denied giving Western Goals the information. See, if it was for the Olympics or security, but he lied that he was doing it, and if he was told to do it by the police department, he wouldn't be charged with lying. He's being charged with false and misleading statements, denying he was being paid by Western Goals at the same time he was being paid by the Los Angeles Police Department, that he was working without a valid department permit for taking employment outside, being on a salary to a right-wing institution headed by the president of the John Birch Society and boarded by known Nazis and a member of the Luftwaffe and crime, Roy Cohn of the Crime Syndicate, that he made false and misleading statements with his relationship to Western Goals. These are his charges, and his attorney, and he improperly possessed police intelligence documents in his home and his garage. His attorney says these charges are an insult to a reasonable man's intelligence. The findings are not supported by the internal affairs interview, and that at his home there was a virtual library of intelligence, related information on judges, civic leaders, we'll go into some more of them later, and civil libertarians. Well, J. Paul did have them in there, and while he was denying, the police was denying they didn't give permission, the punchline of the story was, of course, they were giving him permission. Another article follows, officer and LAPD spy case. This is a one. One's the L.A. Herald. This is a similar to the L.A. Herald, the L.A. Times. Sometimes the same day will run a story, if you're lucky, and some days they alternate with each other. L.A. Herald, this follows that earlier one. LAPD detective loses his bid to stay on the job. He's temporarily suspended. J. Paul won't be fired, or else he'll be the fall guy for them. He's been temporarily suspended while he works on his defense to show that the police told him to take the information to Western Goals, a private foundation away from the police department. And there was a suggestion that Paul even worked for the Central Intelligence Agency. Ooh, heavens forbid, the CIA is getting this information. Well, the CIA has it anyway, but J. Paul works for the Defense Department. This goes to Admiral Moore and Edward Teller and the father of the H-bomb, but this article suggests that he's a CIA agent, and that was the first time it suggested, or the fact that he may lose his job. Then he was temporarily suspended. He isn't out yet. Don't worry. Another story followed that. Police probe's glare falls on the detective at the center of the spy case. And all of a sudden, they wanted to zoom in. This is from the Los Angeles Times. And make him the center of it, whereas it turns out he was working with the high officials. And they told him to take the stuff home and use it and feed it into the conservative Western Goals. This is an article from the LA Times on how he took the documents, fed them into the computer. And at that time, Chief of Police Daryl Gates was still staying away from it and not pursuing the matter and acting as if he did it on his own. This was just about 2 months ago that they were still saying that he was acting on his own, and they did a disciplinary hearing that was unmatched in the history of the Los Angeles Police Department because it was full of contradictions. Then a large article came out where he got tired of being made the patsy, and 3 days later, the Los Angeles Times had an article, January the 27th, spying case figure says the police brass supported his activities. And then he came out, J. Paul, and said, my superiors encouraged him to be with the right-wing Western Goals Foundation that has a list on everybody who's signed up with labor unions or anti-war movements or anti-nuclear. The police told him to do it. The police intelligence division knew that he spent his days while he was on salary and at his wife's law office in Long Beach, Mary Love is her name, working on a computer, paid by the Los Angeles Police Department and putting information into a computer that goes to Germany and Vienna. Think about that. And Washington, D.C., and to Mr. Singh Laub of the World Anti-Communist League that I was talking about a year ago or this year, Jack Anderson is talking about, with the top Nazis from World War II. This article says J. Paul was helping Western Goals build a massive database on political leftists. This goes back to 20 years of politics in California, and they need a massive database. Lieutenant Elmer Schiller, S-C-H-I-L-L-E-R, had direct knowledge that the computer for $100,000 that was bought that J. Paul was using belonged to Western Goals. The police department knew it. I mean, you can know the difference between a Radio Shack computer and a $106,000 computer, and Lieutenant Schiller was assigned to the anti-terrorist division in charge of the Olympic Games. That the anti-terrorist division replaced the police intelligence that J. Paul worked with because they used the same people. They changed their name when they were being investigated. J. Paul named many officers who knew the intelligence. This is in a story where he got tired of being the fall guy. And the charge of perjury may come in because his first testimony said that the superiors didn't know. But being as they're pinning so much on him, they may charge him with, yes, they did know, which is a minor perjury considering how many top cops were in on this. The information fed into this, keep in mind, is all law-abiding citizens, information on the radical left. And what J. Paul wanted to show was that the police department knew what he was doing, that everything he had was on with their permission, that he is being unlawfully singled out, and he was getting sick of it. By the end of January, just a month and a half ago, he was being singled out for a discriminatory prosecution, and he's sick of it. He said six superiors knew. He got the final okay to work outside, and he worked in with Captain Robert Loomis, who was over him before Mr. Scheidecker took over, and Loomis received the approval from the Chief of Police, Daryl Gates, or the Assistant Chief of Police. So he got tired of being the fall guy, and he said, yes, they had knowledge, and they told me to work on it, and I drew the double salary, and what are you going to do about it? And then that was January the 27th when this story broke in one newspaper, and then another story broke about J. Paul breaking his silence, and some more information about the logs that show where he was, and his police logs in the police department showed that he was working in Long Beach. Instead of coming at 9 o'clock, the LAPD, he was in Long Beach, and that's on the logs. And he said they didn't stop him, they encouraged him, and they used the resources from Long Beach. In other words, it turns out Western Goals from Alexander, Virginia, is putting names to the Los Angeles Police Department for people to go after. So he got a little more angry within the time that he knew he was going to be a patsy and said they knew where the money came from, the logs showed where they came from. And this is very important, again, to go back to the security of the Olympic Games, because the excuse was the Olympic Games and all these weapons and all the money, $100 million for security of the Olympic Games. And what J. Paul said at the end of January was, I received authorization to use the city time to work outside the division that Mr. Loomis told him that the chief personally approved and that he was doing this on the approval of the police department. Then by January 28th, a day later, J. Paul implicated more superiors, and he mentioned people in the police department, and all of them that were over him are referred to as the former police. They've all scattered around in the different departments of the police department. And he began to name other agents, in addition to Robert Loomis, who knew about Western goals, who approved of it, that he was helping the ultra-conservative organization, and then they would send information out to California from all over the world that the California Los Angeles police could use and would be always very grateful for, which is an interesting phenomenon. The Los Angeles Police Department story continued into February. I'm updating you these stories in chronological order. A judge finds his name in the LAPD files. This is Municipal Judge Ernest Aubrey, in looking over the records of what's going on in Los Angeles, found his name in the files. That's not all. There were four judges in the file, law-abiding citizens. They're judges. But notes about the judges and their past, and some were taken off cases or were removed from cases. And the police department, it seems, to control the courts in Los Angeles with the information of Western goals being fed to the police and vice versa. They have massive computers. And Municipal Judge Ernest Aubrey, a law-abiding citizen, found that his name was in the Western Goals computer run by the late Congressman Representative Larry McDonald, but still a very active board at Western Goals and the John Birch Society. And so was L.A. City Councilman Zev Yaroslavsky, who is mentioned in those computers. Remember this story that they had information, the police department, there was a hit squad that was going to kill him, and the LAPD had notified him. Well, he's the Jewish councilman from the Fairfax area, so I imagine if they wanted to get a Jew, that would be a good one to knock off. They had his name on the list and didn't warn him. Another story in February, a month ago, commander wants schools, wants second officer to face charges. See, until that time in February, just a month ago, a month and a half ago, Jay Paul was the only patsy. Then they brought in Lieutenant Thomas Scheidecker from the Navy Reserve, who has all these boxes at home, but wasn't even suggested as being charged with anything wrong. And they're saying that he had negligent supervision of Jay Paul and that he improperly stored documents at his home. And they're considering, they considered charges of having 42 classified documents from the Defense Intelligence Agency. That's Daniel Graham and the Fritz Kramer. He's retired from the Defense Intelligence Agency, but the Western Goals files with John Reese go back and forward in the LAPD into the 60s and 70s, and specific police information, and he works with Navy Intelligence. Another article in February, two retired Los Angeles captains are blamed for not keeping Jay Paul or Scheidecker under control, and they begin to finger their supervisors and get a little higher up now. Instead of Scheidecker was in charge of Jay Paul, but he personally inspected Paul's database with the computer, and he ensured the police department that the information that they had been dumped. Now, this is Scheidecker I mentioned many times. By February, it came out that material that was supposed to be, remember, the early reports of the 60s and 70s were supposed to be destroyed. Well, in February, this is an L.A. Herald, February 8, 1984, Scheidecker took all the information from the police that was to be dumped, and instead it was fed into the Western Goals computer. If you think the 60s and 70s are dead, wait for the 80s, because these people have computerized names in everybody, let's say, who was on a leftist or a liberal cause. The right-wing intelligence-gathering outfit that Paul was assembling was both for the police department and for Western Goals. It was a mutual relationship, and Scheidecker knew the material was to be dumped. It just came out this week in the newspaper the charges are dropped against Scheidecker. They're not going to do anything to him. The whole police department should be changed because they were supposed, the intelligence group, because they were supposed to destroy this information. Another officer was to testify in the spying case February the 10th, this is a story from the LA Herald, by linking the Los Angeles police with Western Goals Foundation, the Los Angeles police was engaged in discriminatory enforcement against left-wing groups. The police will not make these men face a trial board. They decided in the middle of last month that they can be back on the job. Scheidecker's back on the job, no penalties. no, nothing for the illegal removal of files. And they said, well, 1 year statute of limitations ran out. Well, who knew where they put the files until the ACLU case came up to find out where the police files were, to find them in J. Paul's garage just last May, a year ago. Another story, the Los Angeles Times, J. Paul's boss won't testify at hearings. Mr. Captain Robert Loomis, who was in charge of him, is in Nevada, and he went to Los Angeles police and testified in January. And just this last month, he said, I'm not going to come back anymore. I don't want to answer your lousy questions. So J. Paul's lawyer said, well, we can drop the whole case. If you don't come to testify, Mr. Loomis, then nothing you say matters. We can drop it. And he says, well, I'm not going to leave Nevada. I got business to do. So this week, Chief of Police Daryl Gates said, okay, the city of Los Angeles will spend $3,000 and bring the court transcriber and our hearing to Lake Tahoe in Nevada. This guy isn't even forced, no subpoena, to come down and appear when he was working with the man who was taking 140 boxes to his garage, and Scheidecker had 10,000 papers or files in his home and in their car, and they could disseminate into computers in what they called three satellite stations with names of people who don't even dream their names are in these records. So this guy, Loomis, says, I'm not going to appear, and they said to him, this week you will appear. We'll go up and see you. So that's offing now. Another story, late in February, J. Paul backed on storing data at home. And now the hero comes forward in the, aha, who gave him the permission? Lieutenant Charles Kilgo, K-I-L-G-O, now retired. They all retired. Loomis retired. Kilgo retired. They all stepped aside. He authorized J. Paul to take home the police intelligence files. He said, I had no problem with him having these documents. Well, he had no problem with them. It was my name in them. I have the problem with them. He doesn't have the problem with them. He says, I don't have any problem giving them to him. Kilbo was in charge of the division's records. He set the record-keeping system, and he authorized Paul to take the documents to his home or other places. He didn't care where he took them. This is the L.A. Times, February 24th. Scheidecker followed Mr. Kilgo as the custodian of the intelligence records for the second largest city in the United States police intelligence, and J. Paul was authorized by Captain Loomis to use a computer furnished by Western Gold, and late Larry McDonald, the John Birch Society, and Scheidecker said it was a prerogative of individual intelligence officers to determine when and to whom information could be passed along. The individuals can decide when and to whom, so that when you're on a list and the police think you have not committed a crime, but you're being patriotic and using the First Amendment to speak up, write articles, write letters to the editor, along come this gang and say it's their prerogative to do what we want. He can take them where he wants. I don't have any problem with it, and he can have them. And the arrogance of these people as the case warms up gets worse all the time. I'm going to continue next week some more on the LAPD story, because the files continue to escalate with letting Mr. Scheidecker off and then hushing up this case a lot because the Olympic Games is coming. And Mr. Scheidecker said the reason he took this material home was that he wanted to use it for Olympic Games security. And again, I ask the question, how secure can you be for the Olympic Games? I do think that the continuous expose of the biography of people on Western Goals, which I've done and touched about a little bit in the article on the Korean Airline and Larry McDonald, the Los Angeles Police Department, the record of the 60s and 70s, going back to the COINTEL program and Operation Chaos, that's what's in these files. I think we should talk about it and those people and continue with the articles. There's $100 million for 2 weeks of security at the Olympic Games, and I think we better watch who has the money and what they're going to do with it, and their links to former terrorists who are currently waiting to come on the scene. In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel. We'll sign off now, and I'll be back with you next week. Take care of yourself and read the paper and the news, and we'll be together 1 week from tonight.